Isaiah 53. We're going to read the whole chapter, but focus pretty much on one verse. Isaiah 53. I already turned that off, Steve. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. But he is despised and rejected of man, a man acquainted with sorrow and with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul as an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. But he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressor. Amen. In case you didn't know, Isaiah was talking about our Jesus. I said our Jesus. Praise the Lord. I want to look at one verse, verse 4, this morning. We may look at some of these other verses in the weeks to come. I try to not say I'm going to start a series on something, because I want to allow the Lord to intercept at any time or intervene at any time with a message. But there is so much meat in here that we could spend literally weeks, if not months, on this one chapter. How people can scoff at the Word of God and say it was written by man, when Isaiah described the suffering of Christ, how he didn't open his mouth, how his grave was a rich man's grave, how he bore the sins. How could anyone scoff at the Word of God and say it was written by man, when Isaiah wrote this hundreds of years before he was born? It boggles the mind. So this morning we're going to look at verse 4. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now that word surely is used to emphasize the speaker's firm belief that what they are saying is true. Sometimes we read through these various words and we just look at the meat of it, but the emphasis is that Isaiah is emphatically speaking a truth, used to emphasize the firm belief that what they're saying is true, and often they're surprised that there is any doubt of this, the dictionary says. When you say surely, you are surprised that anyone would even doubt it. And what are we talking about? That he can bear our griefs and carry our sorrows. Woo, come on, church. Surely he can bear our griefs and carry our sorrows. The synonyms for surely is it must be the case. It must be the case. So if I were to read to you verse 4 again, the first part, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, the congregation might reply, it must be the case. Let's try that, shall we? I'll read the first half of that and you respond, it must be the case. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. There you go. That's right. That's right. Isn't that amazing how that little word, surely? You know, I was in Broken Arrow yesterday, and I earlier in the morning I said, Lord, you know, I don't even have a message for tomorrow. But I was, you know, I've been driving, I've been working, I've been doing all this stuff, and now I'm getting ready to do a wedding, and I'm there for the rehearsal. I got there at 9, even though the wedding wasn't till noon, because they moved the rehearsal from 9 to 10, and I knew no one was going to show up, but I showed up, and half of the men were there, but none of the women were there. And so I had plenty of time, and at one point, I just heard the Lord say, surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow. And I heard the Holy Spirit just emphasize, surely. I said, okay, Lord, that's good enough for me. Now, the other word, surely he has borne our grief. Let's talk about the word borne. Borne, of course, is the past participle of bear. It's an adjective. It means carried or transported by the thing specified. In this case, the man specified. Carried or transported. It's been carried. Our grief, Jesus carried. Surely. Surely, it must be so. Our sorrow, Jesus bore, he carried our sorrow. Surely, it must be so. And so when I have grief and when I have sorrow, I am carrying something that I need not carry. Because surely, he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow. It must be so. That's right. Why, surely it must be so. Right? In Luke 22, we read that they came to the day of unleavened bread. This begins in verse 7 if you want to follow along. And when the Passover must be killed, and he sent Peter and John, Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us a Passover that we may eat. And they said to him, where would you go that we would prepare it? And he said to them, behold, when you enter into the city, there shall be a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him to the house where he enters in, and you shall say to the good man of the house, the master said unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I may eat Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished there, make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. So they have this need. That's what sometimes griefs and sorrows are needs. We're experiencing sorrow. We need relief. We're experiencing grief. We're experiencing something in our life. We need a release. We need someone to help us. And Jesus says, you need to prepare the Passover. Well, how are we going to do that? Where are we going to do it at? You'll find a man carrying a pitcher of water. And see, the man carrying the pitcher of water is a type of the Holy Spirit. And what did Jesus say? Follow him. Be led by the Spirit. The Spirit is the muscle behind the Word of God. And the Word of God says, surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. And so we look for the Holy Spirit to give us the strength to transfer our grief and sorrow unto our burden bearer, Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the man carrying the pitcher of water. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow. So we are told to go and look for this man carrying the pitcher of water, bearing the water. And what is the water? The water, of course, is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is bearing that living water. Jesus told the woman at the well, if you just knew who you were talking to, you'd ask me for a drink and I would give you living water. It's the goal, it's the plan, it's the desire of God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to give you a life that is so rich that it will be, as Jesus said, like a spring of water just bubbling up in you all the time. I remember when I first got saved in Nebraska, we used to sing our youth group, "It's Bubbling." It's bubbling. Does anybody remember that song? Bubbling in my soul. I'm singing. I'm shouting. Since Jesus made me whole, folks don't understand it, and I can't keep it quiet. It's bubbling, 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 bubbling day and night. So there's the bubbling song. But that should be our life in Christ. If we follow the man bearing the pitcher of water, if we let the Holy Spirit lead us, surely He will bear our griefs and carry our sorrows. And our life will be nothing but bubbling joy and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? Surely it must be so. That's right. So when we recognize God is in control and taking care of everything, there is no burden anymore to bear. Amen? And of course, most of us can quote Matthew 11:30. Say it with me. Jesus' words, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Isn't it amazing that we carry our yokes and our burdens when surely He has borne our grief and carried our sorrow? It must be so. Surely it must be so. In Matthew chapter 8, beginning verse 16, we read, "When the evening was come, they brought to Him many that were possessed with devils, and He cast out the spirit with the word, and He healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness." It is the ministry of Jesus Christ to bear our sickness, to bear our griefs, to bear our sorrows. I had someone say to me one time, "I'd like my job except for the people I work with." Has anybody ever heard that before? And I can say there's been times when I kind of felt that way. So burdens come in all forms. They come financial, physical, and even social. But Jesus died to carry every one of these burdens. And we are only robbing ourselves when we try to carry them ourselves. So why don't we experience that bubbling life all the time? Could it be that we are not as sure as Isaiah was? I mean, we can know something in our head, but until we know it in our heart, we are not at that surety level. Because when we're at that surety level, nothing can shake it. And it has to come from the heart. I can preach the best sermon to you about this, and I can go out and I can carry burdens. And what a hypocrite that is when I do that. I say when I do it, because I forget sometimes. And we need to be as sure as Isaiah was about the fact that our King Jesus can and will and is willing and anxious to carry every burden and every sorrow that we have, the devil tries to put on us. Amen. Now, a good example was what happened last month. The fire, and then the water. When I told my boss about it, he said, "What's next?" I said, "I guess earthquake." And yet, in the end, the Lord has saw us through. And how did the Lord carry our burdens through all of this? Now, here's the verse, Galatians 6:2. "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." we bore each other's burdens. I was a little freaked out at first. I was feeling the burden. And then the body of Christ, together we lifted the burden and shared in the labor. Amen. You know, sometimes we put too much on Jesus. Jesus, remember when the disciples said, how are you going to feed these 5,000? Jesus said, you feed them. Well, Lord, we got a kid with some fish and loaves, but what are these so many? Jesus will never do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He made them move the stone, and then he rose Lazarus. I'm glad that it's a team effort. And the burden bearer, Jesus, often wears blue jeans and looks like you and you and you and me. We were the burden, and look what the Lord has done. Through each other, our great ministry is when we bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Oh, we all have our gifts, and we all have our ministry gifts, but the greatest gift or the greatest ministry is the ministry when we bear each other's burdens. Amen. In the Old Testament, they had what was called the scapegoat. Remember the scapegoat. And the high priest would confess the sins of the people and put his hand on that goat, and then they would send it off into the wilderness where it would carry our sins out of sight. It's kind of cool. All of these things in the Old Testament, of course, pointed to Jesus. He carried our sins. He's the burden bearer. And when we see that goat, if we were living in Israel in that day as a good Jew and we were watching on the Day of Atonement, and we everybody's looking over the crowd and there goes the goat, and we watch, and we didn't have binoculars in those days, but we're looking, maybe some kids followed it a little ways, and eventually nobody could see the goat. And that was representative of our burdens. Not just our sins, our burdens, our heaviness. When we could see that the goat was gone, it made it easier. But you know what? We don't have to see certain things because of the name that's soon to be back on our building. Because we are people of faith. We don't have to see the goat disappear to know that it's gone, because Isaiah told us, surely, faith, surely he has borne our grief and our sorrow. And so Jesus is our scapegoat, and he carries our burdens. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Amen. Now the question is, where do we go from here? How do I get it from my head to my heart so that I am emphatically and totally and without a doubt confident that whatever I go through, Jesus will carry my burdens? Well, I don't know any way to get the word from my head to my heart than to meditate on it. In fact, had I not read Isaiah 53 at some point in my life, how could the Holy Spirit have brought it to remembrance yesterday at that wedding? Good place for an amen. And so our homework this week is to memorize Isaiah 53:4. And I know some of you Bible junkies have it memorized already. But for those of you who don't, that's great. But not memorizing it only, but meditating on it all week. You see, when the cows chew their cud, they got all those stomachs and they bring it back up. Right? And they chew some more juice out of it. Doesn't that just make you want to go out and eat at Chili's today? And that's what meditating on the Word of God does. It begins to move it from our head to our heart, so that when a crisis arises, whatever that crisis may be, and you know, the devil knows how what crisis shakes your cage. What he may put on you to shake your cage may not bother me a bit. But what he puts on me to shake my cage may not bother you a bit. But he knows us quite well, and he knows the buttons he can push and the cages he can shake. But as we begin to meditate on the promises of God, surely he has borne my grief and carried my sorrow. As that becomes more than just head knowledge, but heart knowledge, when my cage gets rattled and my buttons get pushed, when crises come up, be it physical or financial or emotional, be it marital, be it whatever it may be, then I can, with confidence, eyeball the enemy and let him know, I believe Isaiah 53:4, not out of my head, but out of my heart. Surely, without a doubt, unreservedly, confidently, my King Jesus has the power and the ability and will carry my burdens and my sorrow. So stick it in your ear, devil. I know in whom I believe, and I'm confident that he's got this. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so whatever you may face this week, good or bad, the Lord is in control. I heard a song that I hadn't heard in years the other day, and I thought, we need to sing this at Faith Fellowship. And the words are, Jesus is alive and well. Has anybody heard this? Jesus is alive and well. Tell everyone you see, oh, tell them for me. Jesus is alive and well. And you know, God's not dead. Jesus is alive and well. He didn't vacate his throne when the flood came. He didn't vacate his throne when the fire came. And whatever, if the earthquake comes tomorrow, he still will not have vacated his throne. Jesus is alive and well. And we are not moved by what we see or what we feel or what we experience. We are standing on the holy, infallible, never-altering word of Almighty God. And it has given us the confidence to say, surely he will bear our griefs and carry our sorrows. Amen. Come on up, Ms. Nola. Praise the Lord. I would encourage you to read all of chapter 53 this week, because unless the Lord intervenes, I have a sneaky suspicion there may be another verse in there, another sermon or two in there, and you'll just be ahead of the game. And I appreciate everybody and all your faithfulness in helping carry the burdens that we've all felt with everything that's happened. Amen. It means so much to me. I appreciate it. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Dear Lord, 2 weeks ago, three, whenever it was, we could not have imagined all the changes that would have taken place leading up to this service today. And though I was a little freaked out at first, Lord, looking back, I see how you have used every person in Faith Fellowship to bear my grief and to carry my burdens. And I thank you, Lord, for each person here. And I thank you, Lord, for what they've done and what they're doing. I thank you for the congregation of Faith Fellowship Church, who are the best congregation the pastor could ever hope to have. Thank you, Lord, that you're the burden bearer and that you often use people. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a burden this morning that you came here with, I encourage you to take a minute to roll it off on the able shoulders of Jesus and let Him carry your burden. I would not want anyone to leave here today with a burden that they brought in. Just roll it on to the Lord. And maybe you don't know how. Maybe you say, Lord, I try to quit thinking about this, but I keep thinking about it. I don't know how to let go of this. Just ask the Lord to help you. Surely He will. Surely He will take it. Surely He will bear it. Surely He will comfort you and take off your sorrow. So just ask the Lord to help you. Help me, Lord, to roll this onto your shoulders. Help me to take it to the altar and leave it there. Help me, Lord, to not pick it up again. And let me just live that bubbling life of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.
Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with the Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your life and satisfy your soul. The Spirit, like a dove, will descend upon your life and make you
someone a hug before you go.